Hello and welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show with your host, me, Yvonne Silver. And I have a beautiful guest with me who I will formally introduce in just a moment, Serenity Ravenwolf. And this show is a really interesting show that just recently got started. And I'm delighted to have been invited to the BBS radio station through one of my colleagues, Debbie Dashinger, and to be meeting some wonderful people, including Serenity, through the show. And the show is, well, through EBC, and the show is designed to help elevate women's confidence. And I'm doing that through providing inspiring stories, inviting guests who've been on a beautiful transformational journey. It might have started in some sort of chaos, but it's ended up being an absolute gift to the world. And so these opportunities to listen in will give you some hints. If you are somewhere on the journey, if you're feeling that you're already quite far along in your journey, this is an opportunity to encourage you to get through the finish line, because at the end of the journey is a beautiful, beautiful gift awaiting. Some of my clients and guests are more business oriented, some are more heart centered, and I think that inviting Serenity today, we actually have a beautiful blend of, well, wonderfulness, I think, is going to be a new word. It's not something that may be in the dictionary, but I just think it's totally applicable. So welcome, Serenity.
Welcome, Yvonne. Welcome, my beautiful friends. I always like to start when I introduce myself like that. It's just to let you know that you are the most amazing, radiant, beautiful being that I have ever seen or met. And I'd like to remind you that that is exactly what you are. And I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I feel complete now.
What a beautiful way to start this interview. And I didn't directly meet you in March. However, I've been connecting with you. I'm in Canada, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. You're in Australia.
In the Florida part of it. Queensland.
Queensland.
Brisbane.
And so, you know, we're talking here about totally opposite ends of the globe, and yet I feel this beautiful connection to Serenity. I haven't known her for very long. However, I do know that you are completely an echo for the planet of love, true love. So let's dive into your formal introduction. I don't know if formal is the right word, but you describe yourself as a chief love officer, leading with love. So that's not just something you do, it's an actual movement supporting heart-centered change makers and who you refer to way showers. We might have to do a little bit of an explanation for some of the listeners on the call. But it's about embracing a unique contribution so that each of you can fulfill your particular mission. So the work that Serenity does is looking at bringing forth that most prosperous version of yourself for a harmonious, peaceful earth. And if we're all living on purpose, oh boy, what a beautiful gift that is to humanity. And certainly, you know, my role, you've heard, a few of you have heard me talk about this before, is living on purpose to uplift the spirit of humanity. And I'm doing that through my work with women in particular, helping them to elevate their confidence so that they can step up into bigger, broader conversations, both with themselves and also with others around them, to really ask for what it is they truly want and find collaborative ways to receive it. So reciprocity, sharing, collaboration, co-creation are all some of the words that I use in my coaching practice. A beacon of love. You definitely are a beacon of love, my dear. Oh my goodness. Yes. I mean, I felt it the minute that I first connected on a call with you. And for more than 30 years, you've been living and teaching and promoting consciousness and love through a variety of different kinds of media. I understand that you're the recipient of the 2017 Global Influencer Award. What was that about, by the way? I don't know that award.
Oh, it's with the EBC as well. Okay. It's to do with when I went to someone who shows up to what they call live events, and it's how many live events you can show up to in a short amount of time would be the layman's nutshell statement of what that is. And while I was in the US for 14 days, I attended something like 9 or 10 live events with other influencers in something like 9 or 11 days. And it was, and it's held by that person until someone else tips it. So okay. Who knows how long I'll be their recipient.
Well, I know for myself, when I'm going through some of the transformational learnings in a workshop setting, I mean, they're super, super powerful. So if you were able to absorb and integrate large quantities of information like that, I'm sure that that will be filtering out in the interview with some of the learnings. So the Heart and Spirit Award, the best-selling co-author, we'll talk about that in a minute too. And you're also a results coach and mentor. Law of attraction and self-love expert and beautiful person overall. So I always like to start by hearing your own version of your story. And this show is all about that transformational journey from some sort of tragedy or chaos through to where you are today, to the confident version that you are of yourself. So where would you like to start telling us a little bit more about?
I'd like to just start with wherever I am at now, and whoever you see showing up with you right now isn't exactly the person that was there, say, 10 years ago. I lived a very normal life, like most women, cutting off and divorcing parts of myself. Mm-hmm. I was born different. I view the world through very different, obviously, absolutely different lenses than the rest of the world. I learned to shut my mouth early. I learned to not shine too brightly. I learned to not be overly loving because most average people seemed to couldn't be able to handle the amount of love I had to offer. So I just learned to shut up and divorce parts of myself to please other people and to stop them from feeling bad about themselves. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, by the age of 37, which is what most women are doing, right? By the age of 37, I'd been with the same person for 19 and a half years. I was realizing that I was deeply unhappy. I couldn't remember the last time I felt myself, some of myself, let alone all of myself, and happy. So I looked in the mirror, and I have a gift to look into the mirror, look into someone's eyes, and I can see their soul. I hadn't done that in my eyes for a long time. So this day I felt very, very brave, as we have moments of that. And I looked into the mirror and I said, "Who are you?" And in half a heartbeat, I already had the answer. This little whisper back, "Don't bother. I don't even like you." So in that moment, I knew I had choices, big choices to make about how I could be and have all of me, because I felt like a shell of myself already in that moment. So I said, "Show me," you know, use an NLP future pacing technique. And I said, "Please show me my life. If I keep walking this exact path, please show me my life in 5, 10, 20, 30 years' time." And like this amazing something, I had this vision which included feeling and emotion like I was actually experiencing 30 years of my life in the space of time it takes fireworks to go off. It's like every possible, and what I saw literally cut me to the core. If I thought I was a shell of myself in that moment, add another 30 years of compound interest over time of that. And it wasn't pretty. And I am a rather strong personality. So to some degree, if I allow myself to go down that path, I'm taking a big chunk of the world with me like a black hole.
Wow.
And that was a responsibility that I realized that I had, that the way I show up doesn't just affect me. It ripples out from me to my children, to my family, to my community, to the planet.
Absolutely.
So unless I start the journey of me loving me, and that's where Lead with Love starts, only when I truly love myself and start showing up as my own divinely loving presence and being my own guide and being my own inner guru, because I am always right for my path.
Absolutely.
So can I ever be anything for anyone else?
Mm-hmm. I actually talk quite a bit about this topic in my book. When we go on an airplane, and they always put, you know, have the safety demonstration, put your own air mask on first before helping others.
I use that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. It's so, so impactful. So the last show, I had a beautiful guest who had talked about a very tragic event happening, her brother getting murdered. So in your case, it sounds as though it was a compounding of different layers that were covering your beautiful soul. It wasn't necessarily one triggering event that put you into that place where you had that vision.
It's kind of like every other one of us doing similar, a little bit here, a little bit there. You speak up at how you view the world and everyone laughs at you, so you shut up, which means you're burying or divorcing parts of yourself. When I made that choice and decision, I knew that I had to leave my ex-husband, of the person I'd been with for 19 and a half years. I had three children under the age of 10. The youngest was about a year old. And then making that choice, a few weeks later, it hit me of the ramifications of my choice. And it threw me, absolutely plummeted me into my deepest fear in this whole lifetime. So there's nothing else the universe can throw at me bigger than that one. And within a few weeks' time, I was so deeply depressed that I had my nearly 10-year-old begging me to call somebody for help before she went to bed that night. So I tried and tried, and this was at the peak, tried to ring crisis care or Lifeline, I think it's called, every 10 minutes for 3 hours, couldn't get a hold of them. So I rang a girlfriend who instantly came around and stayed the night, and the next morning I woke up sitting on the living room chair. There's crying and there's crying from the depths, guttural cries from the depths of your soul. I sat in fetal position for hours and hours like this, crying, I want to go home. I want to go home. And that, oh, I want to go home. She didn't. She rang another girlfriend. Mm-hmm. She called the scorpion. Scorpion came. I don't know what to do with her. So, you know, and in that moment, all my choices were taken off me. They took me to the doctors, which put me on medication. I kind of lost all my choices. But there was something in me, that little whisper that I'd started to listen to, because at the moment that I looked into my eyes, I promised never again would I ever turn down my light. I would choose to show up as the midday sun, and I would choose to be and have all of me, and I would do whatever it takes that would include anything, including relationships that had ceased to serve me and support me, would leave my life. And now in my life, because I made that choice, I have nothing but the most yummy, amazing, loving and supportive relationships. I don't care of your relationship to me if you're not supporting me and we're not vibrationally aligned, because to me everything is about vibrational alignment. It's either on or off. And if it's off, why is it in your life? Regardless of who or what it is, and regardless of what their relationship is to you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really interesting start to your story. And I think let's just breathe into that for just a minute, because that was a pretty big event. Thank you for sharing that piece of you. And that guttural crying, looking for your own soul, is such an important part, because we can't go, you know, we can't make that change unless we're sick and tired of something. And certainly it sounds as though you had pretty much hit your rock bottom. And then from there, the only place obviously is up.
Yeah.
So what happened next?
The most interesting part is because I had made that promise to myself to never ignore the whispers again. Regardless how seemingly weird the message was, I would listen to it. And I would never turn down my bright light, or I would be the most important thing in my life, and I'd only have things in my life that supported me. So the very interesting part is those parts of me that I cut off and buried in the dungeon started waking up. Mm. So for a little while, some months, I actually felt a little bit, well, I guess if I had a different perspective, I could have thought myself, confused myself for being multiple personalities, because they were all various little different person, because we all have this. Like I see us all like a disco ball with all the little bright things, you know, and every one of those aspects of my, and every one of them, the disco ball wouldn't be complete without one part of those mirrors on there. It would be incomplete.
Yeah.
Therefore, one of those little shiny mirrors is a different part of our personality that we need at certain times in our life. So they started waking up. So I thought I'd turn it into a game rather than feel crazy. And I started naming them. What's your name? And for actually, the first thing when they present themselves, I would remember when I was like 15, that was there. And I'd say, "Hello, my beautiful friend. I remember you. Welcome home." And then I said, "What's your name? Because we're going to play a game here." So I started playing a game. And when I met my soulmate, I used to say to him, even a joke text message, "And who would you like waiting for you when you come to visit today?" He'd say, "Lucy, you're Genevieve." And I'd say, "Cool." Because they all had very distinctly different personalities. And eventually they just kind of integrated and I stopped playing the game, and I don't know when that happened. It just did.
So you talk about leading with love. What does that mean to you? What does that mean for your clients? Because you're doing some beautiful work.
To me, it's kind of like part of the story that I've just shared, my journey, is that it starts with you leading yourself with love. Stop being your world's greatest abuser. Because no one knows how to abuse you like you. So regardless of how horrific your situation is, someone may have done something horrible to you, but then you beat yourself up worse than they ever did for the rest of your life over it. It's like you drinking the poison. That's what we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
So leading with love is stop being that and becoming our divinely loving presence. So whenever those little aspects pop up, fear or anxiety, or you feel yourself beating yourself up about something that's happened in the past, that divinely loving presence, which a lot of people will call your higher self, your guide, the greater part of you, let it start being your guide, the light bearer, and letting it step into those parts. Like if I experience fear, I'll put my hands in my heart and I'll acknowledge, "Hello, honey, you're experiencing fear today. That's okay. I love you. What's up? How can I be of service for you right now?" And suddenly it melts. And then you find over time that there's less and less and less of a fight with the ego, because the ego starts feeling loved and supported.
Mm.
And suddenly this holistic approach of you becoming whole like the shiny disco ball. And then you can shine, once you've become that for yourself and your cup is overflowing, and from your over now flowing saucer below the cup, you can start leading with love with your greater community, your family, your clients even.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have found that being that ball of love, that heart, deeply heart-centered person, has been the greatest client attractor ever.
Oh, totally. Because who doesn't want more love in their life? Yeah.
Or feel good, really, because it feels good.
Absolutely. Oxytocin. Yeah, absolutely.
And what if it feels good because that's who we really, truly are?
Mm-hmm.
We're all here to love and be loved. all here to return to love. The only way forward for us to have that prosperous and harmonious peace on earth is for us to return to love, and that starts with loving ourselves.
Yeah. What's interesting that when I started writing the book, my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, which is the modern art of confident conversations, I'm hoping that that will be still September, that that will be an option to have the law. It's interesting how our language will demonstrate our confidence level, but also the opportunity for self-talk comes first. And if we've got that strong, authentic connection with ourselves, then it gives us a much more grounded place to come from when we're inviting conversation with others. And I'm just going to play a short clip. I won't do it on this interview, but it'll be in the radio show version. So if you haven't had a chance yet to look at the audio introduction of the Words, Women, and Wisdom book, if you hop over to wordswomenandwisdom.com, there is an audio, a video introducing the book.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the modern art of confident conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, the modern art of confident conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Okay, so we're talking about some very loving, kind thoughts, starting with ourselves. Now, it sounded like you'd had some very dark thoughts. So when you're guiding others, do you work primarily with individuals who are sort of suicidal or dark thoughts? Or is that very often a place that you're starting?
Not particularly. And you mentioned earlier on about an explanation of way showers, change makers and way showers. And way showers are people like you and I, here leading others forward in the evolution of humanity. We're showing the way.
Yeah.
Showing a new way, bringing in a new paradigm, because the way we've done things in the past obviously hasn't worked. Because we're all waking up out of what I call the dream of the 3D matrix. And we're stopping the sleepwalking part of that and waking up into this new paradigm and wanting more, knowing there is more, knowing that we are perfectly imperfectly magnificent in every way possible.
Now, are those the three elements of this 3D matrix that you're referring to?
The 3D matrix is where we're kind of walking around a slit. Life is happening to you instead of through you.
Okay, so victim, basically.
Pretty much. And then eventually you decide to start waking up, knowing that, I know this inner whisper, and that's what we're trying to get a hold of, is this little inner whisper of that there is more, that we are more. Start moving towards things that feel good, feel better, support us more. And that's all part of the journey of becoming your own divinely loving presence. So change makers and way showers, mostly women, are who seem to be attracted to me. Some men, it works. Some men are very in touch with the divine feminine. And, you know, I use processes like I've created the soul sync process, which works with those loving parts, and I speak to it in a loving way. It's kind of based on a NLP parts integration, but done the serenity way. You know, I help them work through the knowing that there's more, to realize just how amazing and unique they are, and that it's your uniqueness that is your perfection and your gift to the world. So then to realizing that they have a purpose and what that is, and they just start, and, you know, changing the world.
Well, certainly from my background, I had a lot of work time spent in the human resources field, and a lot of times it was women in particular who were unsatisfied in their work, didn't really know why, and didn't have that depth of understanding of, you know, what they could bring out as their own gifts, what their values were, how they were showing up, whether it was aggressive or assertive or somewhere in between. So part of the role that I held was to give them an opportunity to learn more about themselves, understand, you know, where were their career interests, their values, their hobbies, the things that they loved to do, things they were really good at, as well as underpinning, you know, what were their core values, and start to build this picture that they could then embrace about themselves. And once they started getting more in touch with who they were and what they were all about in a work setting, then they could start seeing where they could add value and put it in monetary terms. So we've been talking quite a bit about sort of love and light, bringing that around to some of the audience listeners. I know that quite a few of my connections through LinkedIn will be listening to this, who are more work oriented initially, because they're listening at lunchtime in Calgary in the middle of their work day. But it certainly starts with being able to understand what it is that you're bringing to the world. And then if you can articulate that in monetary terms in the corporate arena, to say, this is the value that I am bringing. This is the monetary value. And maybe it's about attracting new customers for the client. It doesn't have to just be the salesperson that is bringing in new business. Maybe it is being creative about a new system or a new approach, so that you can actually save the company some money. Maybe it's about working with a team a different way that helps them to get excited again about new initiatives and starts engaging staff, so there's no not so much turnover. But they can start to actually translate their gifts into those monetary terms if they want to continue to work in the corporate world. It just gives them so much more confidence to ask for what they want, to ask for a promotion, to ask or negotiate a different salary, because they know they're adding value.
Well, they know they're worth more too, and they understand what value they're bringing when this side of you starts to wake up. And I see, like, a business as an entity with, to some degree, a consciousness of its own.
Yes.
And which is, to some degrees, and actually many degrees, very similar to you and what we've already discussed. So anything that we have really just discussed about ourselves as individuals also carries over to us as business owners, because who we are and how we are showing up absolutely overflows into our business. And then that's how our business is showing up. So by you showing up as this heart-centered person, your business to some degrees has zero choice than to show up as a heart-centered business. And I find that when you come across as this deeply loving being and entities, that people are attracted to that. We're looking more for this feel-good alignment, feel-good heart-centered businesses. And I'm finding them, they're waking up more and more and more. And when you feel good, you make more money. When you feel good, your business makes more money.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly in Calgary, a number of organizations now, we're starting to gather more steam in the entrepreneurial space, heart-centered, mission-inspired, I call them, business owners that have a social good. And it was actually my son who was watching me as I was in my previous business and burning out, didn't even realize that I was burning out because I was chasing the money, going for the big contracts and securing those. However, not feeling satisfied at the soul deep level with what was the outcome from that. Because as we've both evolved and know, the extrinsic factors are not as rewarding as your own deep purpose and your intrinsic values and what you're bringing to the table from your soul. And if you can co-create with other heart-centered entrepreneurs and business owners, you're speaking that common language. And we both talked about the EBC. For those who don't know the EBC, it is a invitation-only evolutionary business council, and it's full of heart-centered.
It's a group of heart-centered visionaries and thought leaders.
Yeah.
Lovingly supporting each other to share their message with the world.
Yeah, and you've been a member for many, many years, so you've evolved that description very nicely and smoothly, whereas I'm a fairly new member, so haven't got that.
Actually, just to give that, without getting to the tear up, I don't know if I'd be here with you today, where I'd be today without them. I've never met anybody that can handle all of me. And they were a first. It was a nice experience, let alone wanting to lovingly support you to be more.
Yeah. I think it's just so, so important to not only know yourself deeply, but also know who else you can surround yourself with that has an appreciation for all of you.
Mm-hmm. And that's all a part of the Lead with Love journey and where it starts, is supporting yourself through all of that.
Yeah.
And knowing, finding this harmonious balance between what you were speaking about a moment ago, between your work, your business and burning out, and then listening to the whisper that now it's time to get away from the computer. And yes, you have to do it for the weekend and you have to just pamper yourself all weekend to find this harmonious balance between the two to create more.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was more than actually just a whisper. At the time, my business, it was designed specifically for women, so I had named it The Shattered Ceiling. Everyone knows Breaking Through the Glass Ceiling. However, when that business was formed, it was very much about that striving and breaking through energy. And there came a point where I realized that that was actually what was burning me out. And I got invited to speak on a telesummit, and I think I was on day 5 talking about... I was listening to the speakers on day 1 talking about what was an emotional awakening and what was burnout. And as I listened, I'm thinking, wow, I'm already doing some of those things. And I've already started going down that slippery slope. Oh my gosh. And here am I on day 5 talking about moving from career stress to career joy. And I was already way down the path. So the universe decided it was going to tap me on the head by 5 times in one day, having glass breaking all around me. So my son knocked a glass off the counter, a little girl in a store knocked a glass vase, purple, of course, over by my foot and broke it. My son broke a vase, a crystal Reiki ball fell into the sink as I was cleaning it and landed in another glass. A mirror dropped off on the counter. I mean, it was just... I know, exactly. There was 5 incidents in one day, and it really was a wake-up. It was like, okay, universe, I'm listening.
You've got my attention.
Oh, yes, you've got my attention. And I realized that I'd actually already broken through, and it was time for a different energy, and that was when Flourish formed my current company. And then watching my son, who paints, does his painting and raises money for Operation Smile, I was looking at how his business was just taking off like a rocket and thinking, well, what's the difference between his business and how he's running it versus what I had been doing? And that was where the dawning came through that, you know, if it's not something that is mission heart-centered and makes money at the same time, then that's not going to serve both parts of what I'm looking for. And Flourish was born.
I call it, we should all really be in the feel-good business. Unless it feels good from an Esther Hicks and Abraham type of literally feeling good, why are we doing it?
Well, I live actually life like that. If it's not good, why are you doing it? Never mind just in business.
Well, that just means it's out of alignment unless it feels good.
Yeah. If it's not fun, don't do it.
Unless it's just a contrast of analysis to show you what isn't working for you. Contrast of analysis. Cool. So what energy, space and consciousness is more expensive for me to be showing up as?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Then we go over that way.
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting that, you know, when our coaching clients show up, very often they're showing up, and after I've worked together with them and helped them to solve whatever it is they brought up as an opportunity for learning or growth, self-growth, an immediate issue that needed solving, how I can look back and say, wow, I can also take a big learning out of that because I needed that lesson myself just today. I don't know if you get that in your coaching sessions too.
No, absolutely never.
So you describe yourself sometimes as a beacon of light. How did you become a beacon of light?
By everything that we've been speaking about. By giving up caring what other people think. So other people's opinions and not about me are zero, none of my business, and have zero to do with me and everything to do with where they're at in their evolution. God bless their cotton socks. Which takes me out of that statement, just takes me out of any judgment whatsoever. They are perfectly imperfect just the way they are. Yeah. No one is ever broken and needs fixing. Though by me being able to show up, like a big part of the message of what I am here to do is belief, to believe in yourself and that you can and that it's possible and to be and have all of you would be the core of everything I do. And I'm here to, the Lead With Love movement is here to lovingly support you to be and have all of you and be that bright guiding light. So yeah, it's kind of been an interesting journey, but that's by me not caring what other people think, that has allowed me to shine my light and to walk into a room and know that God and God, the word is an acronym for me, just means great overall designer. To know that God always and in all ways has my back. So when sometimes things show up as seemingly icky in that moment, I could say, so if God has my back, what's right about this that I'm not just getting? So by being that loving support for myself and not caring what other people think, it allows me to show up as all of me. And that is the beacon of love and the beacon of light.
Mm. So tell me a little bit about the actual movement part. What kind of things are you involved in that is building out this movement?
Well, at this stage, we're just getting, I've been walking around for years close on the outskirts of my topic going, okay, no. And I couldn't quite get started. And it was like, okay, now knowing my topic is to be the lead, you know, the leader, the guide for the Lead With Love movement. I could see where every one of those topics were just like the outer ring around it. Oh, I can see how that's part of it, but it wasn't it. So just getting started in this arena, I'll be creating support and groups and courses to walk you through. I call it like the three phases of Lead With Love, which is we've already discussed that it starts with yourself, which is the become so selfish you put on your mask first. Yep. And then it overflows into the second phase of that. Now it can overflow into your community and your clients and your business. And then from there, I see us at the end, as legacy leaders, I've dubbed it. It came through. So what do I call this part of the fact? Legacy leaders. We're kind of like the EBC, but they've come together as a group to share their message. This is about, we're now leading our lives with love. We're now leading our greater community, businesses and clients with love. How can we do this as like the elders for the world, like an old tribal elders, mm-hmm, who are leading with love, do this for the world? How can we change the world with now what we know and how we are being?
Yeah.
And how we are radiating and showing up in the world to bring about the new paradigm and lovingly wave goodbye to the old. Mm-hmm. To see new technology coming in and new communities coming together to support each other. And I just feel it's huge. It's so big, actually, I don't know the full enormity of it because it would scare me a little bit. But I've wakened up enough to know that that's the end result of that, and together we're coming together to change the world. And to me, I see those sort of things are the start of the end of the monetary systems that we know, politics as we know it, leaders of the world, presidents of countries. I see more going back to the old, returning back to some of the old ways of the tribal elders coming together to make decisions because we want to be of service, not because we want, you know, going from the paradigm, which were the old paradigm of power over others and service to self, to power within and service to others.
I love that. Love that description.
And the Lead with Love movement's taking us down that way, and somehow along the way, other gorgeous people like you will show up and co-create something really yummy and amazing at the other end.
Well, the yummy piece right now is actually the book.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in 4 different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us, and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing.
You know, we have to go through that journey, I think, to really appreciate what are the gifts and how did we get there? Why is this something that we're willing to take a stand for, so that we can look at it from all different angles and figure out how can we contribution with this as well. So in my case with the book, I'm committed that for every one copy that's sold, I'm going to be actually giving one away to a women's shelter, a not-for-profit, or a women's foundation, because I really believe that out of the words that are in the book, there's 40 different words and word concepts in the book that are things that women do perhaps even without even realizing it. They say that will either elevate their confidence or deflate it, or ways of connecting with other people so that they can have the conversation which really puts them in a position of power because they're leading the conversation. And so it's a different way of putting the awareness on conversation. And at the end of the book, I'm hoping that the readers will also realize that the actual words that they're using are really just a reflection of how confident they are right now. And oh my goodness, there's actually more that I can be digging into to really get to know myself. And
I just hear the infomercial, but wait, there's more.
Well, the awareness piece, if I can just help women to even become aware of some of the things that they're saying and doing, that in itself, I think, will make a huge difference. So, yeah, I am. I'm on a mission like you, a big mission. I'd like to.
Yeah, too big. I don't want to know the whole enormity of it yet. It's just a little too much.
I'd like to give away 1 million copies of the book, which means I need to be selling 1 million copies as well. So
I totally agree. I've actually thought as I create my digital courses, I'd like to be like buy one, gift one.
Yeah.
I'll connect with other co-creators where there's women and teenagers, you get the next generation, especially in countries or places where they can't afford it, women's shelters, whatever. Haven't worked out that part of it yet, but I really would like that to be a part of my model as well. Yeah. Buy one, gift one. And that way, you know, whatever you're paying, it's being gifted away to somebody in a situation that couldn't afford it, but we could change the planet by waking everyone up with this information.
And do it twice as fast that way.
I know. And I think if every time I can show up with anything that I do, if I can let you know, because the greatest part of my grief in the earlier parts before I had that wake up moment was I felt alien and alone. Like I was, even in a room of a million people, I felt lonely and alone. And when I started realizing that I'm actually, and owning, by the way, everything that I'm here back to own the word freak, because freak just means totally unique in every way possible. So hello, everyone, I'm a freak. And I'm here to reclaim it instead of it being twisted to make me seem something horrible. But if I can let you know that you're not alone, that there is a group of other people, part of like the Lead With Love, whatever that is, Yvonne's movement, whatever that is, there's a group of people in alignment with you that are just as magnificently, perfectly imperfect as you are, and you're not alone. You may be like me, even an alien hanging out in a human suit just for a lifetime, here to be of service. Oh, and the big aha for me on that awareness that hit me a few years back, oh, so if I am an alien just hanging out in a human suit for a lifetime to help out, I can't be the only one. There has to be others. All I need to do is find them. And that's kind of where the beginning part of where the Lead With Love was. I'm here to find the other freaks and the other aliens that feel alone hanging out in their human suit, which I put in nice words, change makers and way showers. But when I realized that, I didn't feel alone anymore. And when I become my own loving presence and guide, I stopped feeling lonely and alone. And now I, honest to God, great overall designer, feel I'm not alone.
Well, you're not now in your relationship either. So tell me about your beautiful relationship that you have.
After I left the last, I decided that I needed to know clarity around who I wanted to attract, understanding the law of attraction. This was all happening around about the time the movie The Secret came out, and I watched it hundreds and hundreds of times. I could almost recite it word for word. I'd listen to it wherever, audio or not. And understanding the law of attraction, that I needed clarity around what it was that I really wanted. Because until we have clarity around what we really, really want and desire, we're just like a piece of lint on the winds of the universe. Yep. That we can never find what we want. And until we have the clarity, because the universe only knows how to say yes to whatever we're giving our attention, energy and focus to. So if you're giving your attention, energy and focus to the bummy old car that you have, well, you're certainly not going to get that Ferrari that you asked for 3 weeks ago. God's just going to say, yes, 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 yes. I thought you wanted that new car, but now you're giving your focus. Okay, I'll keep. And then you say, this stuff doesn't work. So I created a process with the clarity process to get utter clarity of what I was wanting. And when I got to the end, and that's understanding you're not negotiables, you're negotiables, and then wish list. That's just any of those are present. That's nice icing on a cake. And the type of man I was looking for was honestly nothing like I know I had ever experienced ever. And I understand, you know, there was a vibrational alignment. He was like here and I was here. And like the story of Cinderella. Mm-hmm. There's truth in fairy tales. Cinderella is about vibrational alignment, the law of attraction. Had she really been the servant in her mindset and her vibration, he would never have seen her, even if he fell over her on the street. The fact that she was dressed and playing the role in life as the servant, but was inside the princess, that was a vibe she gave out, and that's why they came together. Yep. So I needed to come into alignment with my prince. So I knew in that moment I had a lot of inner work to do on myself. And as I'd already made the decision to be and have all of me, regardless of what that took. And my only filter is it safe for me? Is it safe for others? And is it safe for the planet / the universe? If it fits for those filters, I'm willing to do what it takes to be and have all of me.
Mm-hmm. I love that story. I can certainly relate to it. It's how I ended up with my second husband. After I was actually reading a lovely business book, which is all about attracting new customers, the law of strategic synchronicity. And I had already gone through that exercise of how to attract my ideal clients. And I thought, well, how about if I change clients to how to attract my perfect guy? And I went through the four steps of, you know, what are the qualities that you're looking for? And, you know, what is it that you might need to change in order to attract that person, et cetera, et cetera. Those four key questions. And actually, he showed up 2 weeks later. The only thing was that I had put blonde hair and 6'2" on there, and I hadn't put anything about 5'10", brown hair, brown eyes, and 3 children in tow. And so I didn't instantly recognize that this was the guy. And it's funny because I actually lent that book to a friend of mine 2 years later. And by that time we were already married, but the list fell out. So then it was a case of going back and saying, oh, this is interesting. Let's just cross-check all the things I know about my husband and see if he's got all the qualities I put down on my list. And he had every single one, Serenity. And then he
Isn't
had a
that amazing? Bunch,
yeah, he had a whole bunch of extra things, though, that was, you know, the magic of the universe. I didn't ask for, you know, likes to dance until sunrise, or make me breakfast on the weekend without being asked, or clean out my car as a surprise, or buy me flowers once a week. But he does those things.
And until we have that clarity, we stay and we continue to stay a piece of lint in the wings of the universe, more than likely dipping in and fulfilling other people's desires because they know what they desire.
Yeah.
And you don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, and along those lines, I created, if there's a gift, the clarity process, the exact process that I used, everything's there, including worksheets. It's only like 12 pages long. If you'd like to share it, we can put the link somewhere along the way the clarity process.
I was going to ask, as we get to be a wrap up, you know, obviously there's going to be a number of women listening to this call who I think will be totally drawn to the loving, kind-hearted soul that you are. I'm wanting to know, how can we get more of Serenity? And so what was that gift that you just mentioned? Could you share?
Yes, it's called the clarity process. So I give a bit of a story of how I used it. You know, and I used it to create, to attract the latest, biggest thing I create other than my soulmate. And by the way, just to finish up, soulmate,
yep.
Everyone's looking for their soulmate. There's no one soulmate for anybody. There's many soulmates. We're a lot of old souls. We've met a lot of souls.
Yep.
And until it is a journey of the lead with love, because until you are overflowing with love for yourself, you can't attract somebody who loves you that much.
True.
Or it would be out of alignment. So attracting your soulmate is all about you learning to love yourself, a self-love journey, and that's where it starts. And only when you're that comfortable with you and love yourself that much will this soulmate enter your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I finish off that one with that one. Everyone's looking for it and they're thinking, I want it now. Well, yeah, it's about what are you willing to do to be that comfortable with you and that loving of you and that forgiving of you and stop being your abuser, for that person to be able to enter our lives. And then you can allow them to do the car for you. The person I was would never have allowed a man to be like that with me.
Yeah. I don't know that I put it in exactly the same terms and about self-love, but I certainly was seeking a guy that had done as much self-development work and self-awareness work as I had done. And that was a really important part, because there were things that I could share, and right away he would say, I get it. And he, you know, would then continue to take that conversation to another another point that showed that he was getting it. And I think that was part of what happened with my first marriage, is I actually outgrew my husband because he was not willing to do any of the self-development work. Satyan Raja, that we were both on a call with just recently, I went to a workshop, one of T. Harv Eker's workshops, and Satyan was doing one of the exercises. I couldn't even get my first husband to go from the free weekend to actually stepping up and starting to take one single course. Not interested. And that was a very enlightening moment for me. It's like, well, I'm interested. I want to go down this path. I am ready for some major self-development. And if you're not,
That was kind of on my not negotiable list too. I guess I link it back to self-love, because what you just described to me is, as you're gaining clarity and creating your clarity list, you're finding out what is it that truly does and does not feed your soul.
Yeah.
It's a journey of you learning you, about you.
Yeah.
And you're getting clarity about what you like and dislike. Therefore, to me, I equate that back to self-love.
True. Yeah. I mean, I certainly did have a number of interests, and I must be interested in this, and values was the other big one too. Must have, you know, at least five of my values in their top five as well. Because I think that is where respect stems from, is when we have common values, and it certainly leads to less arguments as well.
Yes. And then you know what does. And then when you've done that, you know, I equated that then to, oh, if I can do this even with a soulmate and the house of my dreams, and I could do that with relationships as well, like all relationships.
Yeah.
So I started doing that for close relationships. And that's why my life is just really, and the process that I've created, it's just a 12-page booklet. It's it just walks you through the process, explains how I've used it, that you can use it for anything. Explains the process step by step. And so it's two quick, and it explains that each step, and then gives you the worksheets to work with. So,
where can listeners get access to that and find out?
Yes, I'll read it. It's flow.com/ Serenity Raven Wolf, one word, SERENITY RAVENWOLF.com. / clarity process. There you go. I've got no glasses on. I'm sorry. I should really learn to put glasses on.
So
it's the same, flow.serenityravenwolf.com/clarity process, CLARITY PROCESS.
Lovely. Well, I want to thank you for sharing all of your beautiful nature, your loving heart. You know, I can see it exuding. And for those who are listening on the radio, I am sure that they're feeling it in their heart in the same way that I am, without even seeing live visual teleconference style interview, because the work that you're doing is so beautiful, and it does come from the soul, and it couldn't come from anywhere else. It just couldn't. So I wanted to take a few minutes to acknowledge you are a beautiful being. You are a beacon of light. And I'm so grateful that you were able to share some of that with the listeners today. Thank you, Serenity.
And thank you. Anything and everything that you just explained about me is exactly what I see and feel about everyone.
Yeah.
I meet strangers and tell them in seconds I love them, and I mean it, because I see that divine spark in, regardless of the masks that you and you hear as everybody, regardless of the masks that we wear. Yeah. And the conditioning and the domestication we've experienced throughout life from society.
Yeah.
That spark is in every one of us, regardless of if you're a serial killer on death row. And that's all I see when I look at you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Thank you. And if you are reflecting on your last comment, Serenity's last comment about whether you're a serial killer or on death row, you can always go back to the last show that I did with Annette Stanwyck, beautiful lady, and listen to her story, which was a journey of forgiveness for her brother's murderer that was tragic. So the next show is coming up on September 18th. I hope that you will join me for another story of moving from tragedy and chaos into confidence with the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. Thank you, Serenity. Bye for now.